And we are, as usual, awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you may have this morning. You can phone it in. You could send a text, whichever is easier. Just one number will get you either, 651-461-9226. Andy Linus, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. How's your day going?
Well, so far so good. A little sticky out there. I was thinking when I'm about to chat with you today, I'm thinking years ago before I had Lindis, I hired Lindis to redo the insulation in my house, which I think was totally lacking. What a difference, even though that was years ago. I can turn on my air conditioning now for maybe an hour or two, cool the house down. I can shut it off, and it retains, just like the heat in the winter, it retains all that coolness. What a difference. I mean, and for anybody considering that, to me, that's a real money saver. What do you think?
For sure. Yeah, we, you know, in our area of the world, we think of insulation as more about keeping our houses warm and comfortable in the wintertime. But it's just as important now, like in days like we're going to have today. Like, I know in where I'm sitting right now in my shed, I have an air conditioning unit, and I haven't turned it on yet this year. Now, I'm thinking I'm going to have to today. I have a decent amount of shade, but because I over-insulated this shed with spray foam on the walls, and I have an R60 in the attic and a roof that's properly ventilated, that's just as important. Like, what we had to do to your house after we insulated it, Denny, is we added a lot of intake and exhaust vents on that roof. So when you get your attic, to try to get, you know, we want it to be about the same temperature as it is outside. And if you've spent as much time in attics as I have over the years, that's almost never the case when we first get to a house. And it's going to be 100 degrees outside. It might be 130, 140 degrees in your attic. That makes cooling your house and your air conditioning units having to work even harder. So if you can stop that air conditioning from having to kick on or run for 24 hours straight, think of what it not only saves you in energy, but what it saves you in the life of your air conditioning unit. The air conditioning unit working half as much, you know, it should last twice as long. So it's not just the energy you save, it's what it saves on the wear and tear of all of your equipment as well.
You know, you've brought up, which I think was interesting because we've had questions about it, people putting these various different venting units, some electric, some not, Whirlybirds, this kind of stuff. But you brought up a point that you can kind of overdo it. In fact, kind of hurt the situation rather than help. If you would explain what you were talking about then.
Yeah, people just keep trying to add vents to the roof, and the more vents you add, you have to make sure everything's working together. So we've seen it on numerous occasions where we get up on a roof and they have a power vent, and what's happening is that power vent is having so much air go to that one area, and the intake isn't keeping up. It starts to actually pull air from other parts of the roof or into the ceiling. So the unintended consequences is now you're pulling that moist air into a vent that wasn't even designed to do that. Or you're just getting some venting that's happening at the very top of the roof, which can be okay. But now what you want is you want that cold air to come in at the soffit area or the fascia area, and then it's going to push that warm air out. Otherwise, you're going to be creating a lot of moisture issues and unintended consequences. It's more of a worry in the wintertime when this stuff is happening because of the ice dams that can create than the summertime. But you really need to make sure adding a roof vent is almost never the answer. I see people having less intake than they need, more so than I see them having less exhaust that they need. It's usually the intake that is the problem. If you look at your soffit areas and you got those little square vents, you look underneath that little square vent, there's usually a fine screen, and it's a filter. It's what you need to look at that as. So all the dirt in the air that gets going into the attic is getting caught. And as that filter clogs over years, it less and less air is allowed to go through that. This is why a lot of times when we're doing roofing projects, we're cutting in a lot more intake into the soffit area or the fascia area, depending on the type of home. where, and this is what is really scary. People in Laconia and in western Wisconsin were hit with hail this week. And I've witnessed 8-9 times now, people using extended sticks with cameras, not even bringing a ladder out to inspect the roof. People have to understand, like, yes, I can use satellite imaging and probably get enough images that I need to price out a roof. But if I'm not even going to get up on the roof to figure out what's going on with the exhaust, how am I going to be installing a roof that is designed to last the 50 years that we're given, let alone getting into attics? I talked to the folks at GIF yesterday, and I was talking to him about going into attics. He goes, you know, Andy, what surprises me, the amount of roofers I've talked to that don't get into attics. I'm like, how can you tell what is going on with the house without looking in the attic? It's almost like pulling up to a mechanic's place and say, hey, fix my car, but you can't look under the hood.
Yeah.
That doesn't, I mean, it's a pretty extreme example there, but I'm telling you, Denny, the amount of roofs that we looked at this week that were installed in 2022 that now have hail damage and ventilation issues, it boggles my mind. So you're getting a new roof. You make sure whatever roofer you're talking to is getting in the attic and talking to you about your exhaust and intake and insulation. Because if you really want that roof to last the 50 years that it is supposed to, then you need to take all of those steps. And this is why, like, Denny, you haven't seen a single Lindus Construction employee out there knocking doors. Just
no.
Not what we do.
No.
Why? Because I have customers in Waconia that we've installed in the last 5 years that are keeping us busy. I have one person that has walked us to 12 neighbors. The only roof we inspected in his neighborhood that didn't have damage was the one we installed 2 years ago. And so when you have customers like that and you take care of them up front, and roofers need to, we're so short-sighted in this. We're trying to do it the cheapest way possible. And I get that. We don't want to, you know, cost people money. But if you do good work, you don't have to knock on doors. I'm not saying some of these people knocking on doors aren't going to do good work. What I am telling you is the ones that get bad work almost always chose a door knocker. And we owe it to everyone to ensure we're putting on good roofing right now. Like, having roof that's 2 years old or 3 years old needing to get replaced again should be impossible. The class four options that are available now, there's three different types of shingles I can get from GAF that have a class four rating. And that's going to get to be more and more and more. If you're not talking about that with your customers, you're doing everyone a disservice. And it's people like that why we've seen our insurance rates skyrocket over the last 3 years. I'm talking to customers every day that are seeing their insurance rates go up $1,500, $2,000. Even had one last week, roof was 11 years old. They were getting their insurance rate bumped from $5,000 a year to $10,000 a year.
Oh.
So, and because the roof was over 10 years old, because the insurance industry knows that a roof that has been exposed to the sun for at least 7 years is much more susceptible to hail. Now, if it was a class four shingle installed in a fortified way, that wouldn't be the case. And Denny, like, for on my house, I did the math yesterday. The difference between me installing a regular shingle and a class four shingle that's fortified is $900.
No-brainer. No-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. That's 1 year of premiums that you're saving there. It's an absolute no-brainer, and consumers, we need to demand this. I know it's... what's been fun for me is watching the social media posts this week, Denny.
Yeah.
People have gotten really creative for chasing off door knockers, whether they're scaring them with Halloween masks or handing out candy or nursery rhymes attached to doors. One guy videotaped one company, Denny, with they were all in one van. One guy walked up to the door, knocked on it. The guy answered it, said, no, not interested. He went back to the truck. Another guy from that exact same company came up to the door And he said, nope, not interested. And then a third guy, over a 10-minute period, three different people from the same organization knocked on that door. And I hats off to the city of Waconia, by the way. They're you know, in order to go door to door, you need to have a permit, and you need to go to the city and get a permit. And no one has pulled those permits as of 2 days ago, last I heard. So they've been pulling over roofers and checking permits, which they should. It's scary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like people just walking up to my house unannounced and knocking on the door. And you'd think, I have a Lindis Construction trailer in my driveway and a truck that says Lindis Construction on it and a sign in my yard that says Lindis Construction on it. And you think that would deter door knockers from coming to my house?
They still show up.
Oh, they still show up. And now I'm starting to get robocalls. So I was talking to our producer beforehand. I'm like, we turn today's show into Crank Acres. Let's just start crank calling all of these roofers that have been, I don't know what service they use or how they found my cell phone number, Denny. But
yeah.
Goodness, the amount of texts and phone calls I started receiving yesterday, it's mind-boggling. And yeah. I was supposed to get an estimate last night. Some fella sent me a text message, Jason, what's his name, saying, hey, I'm in your neighborhood. I can be at your house between 5 and 7 o'clock. So I said, yeah, I'll be here. Come on by. I'd like to see your estimate. And that's the one that didn't show up. So
he you know, I found out who you were.
I found out who I was. Or what I ended up doing was I called the company, and they're out of California. And it was a robocall. It's a little weird that a storm that's less than 48 hours old to have people from California up here. And I did get a phone call from another roofer in Louisiana who asked if I would be interested in renting my builder's license to him.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, no. But, you know, desperate people do desperate things. You know,
yeah,
if he gets a hold of the right roofer that owes a bunch of suppliers money, and he starts renting out his license to get 10% of the contract to help pay his own bills.
Yeah.
That can be a scary proposition. And
yeah.
When you talk to suppliers right now, Denny, it's there's a lot of unpaid bills out there.
Desperation. Andy, hang on. We need to take a quick break. Be right back on the other side. Just a reminder, if you have a home improvement question, love to hear from you, 651-461-9226. Right now, here in the Twin Cities, I know we're heading to 97 today. We are at 82. Let me take a look at that dew point. What do they say? Once it hits 60 and above, it's 71, the dew point, right now. 82 degrees on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show, of course, presented every week by our friends at Lindis Construction. You want to get in touch with them, 844-9-LINDIS. Easy number to remember. If want to call this coming week, if you have a project in mind, 844-9-LINDIS. Andy Lindis with me this morning, as usual. Andy, I'm looking at a text. We're talking about roofing, among other things. But the listener says, do the black streaks on our ceiling have something to do with poor insulation in the attic? Initially, I thought they were talking about the algae on the roof, but looks like you're talking about an interior problem.
Definitely could. It could be a moisture issue up there. I'd have to figure out what's causing the black streaks, but usually stains on the interior ceiling are because of bad insulation, ventilation, or a roof leak. But more often than not, I'm seeing it from condensation issues in the wintertime. So what's happening is I see the problems on the interior of the ceilings, a lot of those condensation issues, the warm air is getting into the attic. When warm air meets a cold surface, it's going to frost up. When that frost melts, it causes mold and algae or stains in the ceiling. A lot of times those stains are from the water running through dirty insulation, and that's why you're getting the brown or black stains on the ceiling. So it's definitely something that you're going to want to address and take a look at. And it's not that hard to look up online on how many inches of insulation you should have in your attic. So if you know how to get into your attic, don't be afraid to take a peek in there, or for us, it's a free inspection. Like when you have somebody from Lindis Construction come out, we're going to tell you exactly what the R value is, whether or not you have a vapor barrier, what type of intake you have and exhaust you have, and if it is up to code. Is it giving you the 60-40 push to pull? Meaning you need to have a little bit more intake than exhaust because you want that air to always be coming in from the soffit area, pushing its way out. So it is a fixable thing, but black streaks on your ceiling is you can have some pretty unhealthy air that you're breathing in that home right now, and I'd want to address that sooner than later.
Absolutely. Interesting text that doesn't really take you to task, but maybe you can comment on their comment. Please ask Andy, why are we still putting on roofs made of asphalt? They should be banned. This texter says they have a metal roof and metal siding on their house since 1964, still looks brand new. And the quote is, asphalt roofing is environmentally irresponsible. How would you address that comment?
100% agree. It truly is. We don't put on asphalt roofs. I know we talk about it being an asphalt shingle, but a class 4 shingle truly is more like rubber than asphalt. It is. So there's a reason why we don't put on those types of roofs. And it's still over the vast majority of roofs getting put on in the country are your standard asphalt shingles. Now, with GAF, you have the Ultra UHD DZ, which is the Class 4, the Armor Shield, and our Grand Sequoia impact-resistant shingles. Those are the three shingles that we use. And none of those three would be labeled as asphalt shingles. And you're going to see companies like GAF are starting to produce more and more and more of those roofs. But 100% correct. Like it makes me sick to my stomach that I'm replacing your roof that was installed in 2022, when you know that over 3 billion tons of asphalt shingles end up in landfills on the regular. You know, we're trying our best to recycle these more and more and more, and there's plenty of parking lots in Minnesota that are there because we recycled some asphalt shingles. But if you're in the roofing industry and I know you, this week, you received a text from me saying, I wish Class 4 shingles were code. I want Class 4 shingles to be code. They should be. Like we've inspected hundreds of roofs that we've installed in the last decade and found them to be A-OK, no claim needed. So not only is it better for all of us that our insurance rates don't go up and up and up every year, it is better for the environment. They're 100% correct. I have a hard time disagreeing with that text, Denny.
Well, and you've talked about that. You've addressed that before in the previous shows. What about metal roofing? You know, we don't talk about that maybe as often as we used to. Is Lindis still getting calls about people wanting metal roofing?
Absolutely. We're installing more and more metal every year. We've installed metal roofing longer than we have shingles, Denny. So we've been doing metal roofing for 25 years, and we have metal roofing on a lot of our buildings. The problem with metal roofing and insurance carriers is the cosmetic damage. So just because the metal gets dented, a lot of times the insurances aren't covering that anymore unless you choose that with your insurance carrier. And I've talked to a few different insurance people this week, and for a lot of customers, They're showing them what it would take. It would be another $600-$700 a year in order to have cosmetic damage covered. And a lot of people are choosing not to pay that. So you kind of leave yourself vulnerable for storms like this. Just because your metal roof gets dented, it doesn't mean that the insurance is going to cover it. And maybe they shouldn't, because I've seen a lot of these metal roofs, especially standing seam. Metal shingles, not so much. They don't come back from expansion and contraction like the standing seam metal roofs do. So take like a day like we had today, and 4 days ago we had highs in the 60s.
Yeah.
We have a 50 degree temperature swing in 4 days. Our building materials go through a lot of expansion and contraction. The standing seam roof, once you roll form that metal, a lot of times there's a memory there. So as it comes back from expansion and contraction, I've seen a lot of those dents work their way out. Now, these dents can be detrimental to the finish, But given the choice of having to paint my roof or replace it, I would choose painting it. So for me, the really only two options that we should be putting on roofs, it would be a class 4 shingle or metal.
Yeah.
Those are the only two really good options right now. And we've tried. They're trying to find other materials on roofs, but shingles have been our choice for 130 years. Now, the bad part about, like, slate, cedar, those roofs, yeah, do they hold up a little bit more to hail? For sure. But you need to do annual maintenance on those roofs. So it's not, it's kind of a double-edged sword when you're looking at the other materials that are available out there. Cedar does a little bit better job than a normal asphalt shingle on hail. Slate, same, but every year you're going to be replacing shingles and doing some type of maintenance on those roofs. And that's why you just don't see a lot of people choosing them.
Yeah, that's a trade-off. We need to take a break. Have a look at that hot forecast. I think they've even upped the high to 98 today. We'll talk weather in detail, and we'll be right back with more home improvement. If you have a question for Andy, by all means, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show, presented every week by our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S, 8449-LINDUS. Here we are still in the month of June, actually the first full day of summer, Andy. What kind of deals, I always like to ask you, can Lindus offer this month of June?
Yeah, right now we are running 50% off labor on the installation of leaf guard gutters, GAF Class 4 shingles, and Infinity Windows by Marvin.
Excellent. Yeah, give them a call, 844-9-LINDUS. I'm looking at a text that, a little long one, but I think it's worth reading, and maybe we can get an answer from you here. Texas says, I'm very pleased to have had the wonderful Lindus Construction Company complete several jobs at my house 3 years ago, including new windows, siding, attic insulation, kitchen, bathroom, hardwood floors. Wow. Last week, a pest control company did an attic inspection and said I had evidence of bats in my attic. He said I needed cellulose insulation with pest chemicals in it because bats were entering my attic. His bid, $3,000. I told him I'd talk with my contractor about this problem. Question is, would Lindus come to my house, check this out so I know bats are not getting into my attic? When Lindus updates insulation in attics, is the attic sealed to prevent bats? First of all, let's talk about this insulation with pest chemicals in it. What's your comment about that?
Well, what they're referring to there is there's a fire retardant that's put on cellulose that pests really do not like. You know, their sense of smell. It's the same principle in why mouse magic works. You know, the little peppermint pillows you can throw up in there. Or what I like to do, I take a peppermint essential oil, put it on a rag, and I put it in anything I'm winterizing or in the attic in the wintertime. I do that every single time. There's a chemical on this cellulose that the pests really do not like, and this is why almost always we're using cellulose over fiberglass when we're blowing in insulation over the top of spray foam. Now, making your attic 100% pest-free from bats, it's a very, very difficult thing. Roof vents, gable vents, soffit vents have a tendency to allow those bats in that area. So you got to be careful with what you're doing. Just adding insulation is probably not going to solve it. Yes, can you do some different things with screens on vents and make sure that they don't get in there? But you're talking about a very small opening. I want to say it's close. It's not quite like mice, but it may be a little bit bigger than like an area of like a number two pencil. If your number two pencil can fit into that area, they can usually squeeze their bodies into that area, and that makes it difficult. What I'm seeing a lot, though, when roofs are getting replaced is people are reusing step flashing and sidewall flashing that was up on the old roof or reusing the drip edge. So when you redo a roof, it's not just the attic area. the roof area, the things that we seal up with ice and water, and the way we go up sidewalls with ice and water and put on the correct sidewall flashing. We don't use step tints. You know, we have a different way that we're going to reuse. We're going to be able to seal that area up, not only with ice and water, but with a custom made piece of flashing that we're going to be putting into that area. Those areas, a lot of times when we start tearing off the siding or into the roof deck, that's when the bats start flying out on us. Or if you have like where a roof, like a dormer roof meets the roof area there, that area where the soffit dips into the roof, also another notorious area for bats to get into. We know enough to, when we start removing old soffit and roofing in that area, to be careful, because if there's going to be a time when a bat flies out at your face and you're three stories up off the ground, it's going to be right now. And heck, some of these tile roofs that we've done over the years, we start picking up the tile and there's, you know, 10, 20, 30 bats underneath there at times.
Really?
Now, bats aren't necessarily a bad thing. And I have a really hard time wanting to get rid of, I wouldn't want to get rid of bats. Yes, you don't want them in your attic. And I've seen bats create an inch and a half layer of bat droppings on top of the attic before. Imagine that's the air that's filtering all the air coming into your home at times, and that's what you're breathing in. It can be a scary thing, but mosquitoes and other bugs, those bats are welcomed at times. They put the hurt on the bugs and the stinging insects out there, and I kind of like that. I've sprayed my yard a couple of times and I fog it and it doesn't seem to make a difference. If I could figure out how to keep more bats around, I think I would.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely clear the area of mosquitoes. So it's a very a big plus. A lot of even people put bat houses up for that reason. Here's an interesting question. I think this is the first time. They had Linda's Construction put leaf guard gutters on a couple of years ago, and they love them. They were great. They are great. But this texter wants to clean them, not the inside, the exterior. Could you please give me some idea how to clean the exterior part that rolls over to drop water into the gutter? A house is a split entrance. Should we use a pressure washer? That's a first. I never thought about cleaning the exterior.
Well, I clean the exterior on everything on my house. And for me, I just have a bucket of Dawn water, so a little sudsy water with the brush on a pole. And on my gutters, I just run the brush along the gutters and I spray it off of the hose. And it seems to be just fine. You can use a pressure washer on it. If the pressure washer could damage any other part of the roof, it could maybe damage the finish on the gutters, but probably not. If that makes it a little easier for you, go for it. But yeah, once a year, I do it on the entire exterior of my home, the siding, the gutters, the exterior of the windows. I just take, I've never liked the, you know, you can get that exterior wash that hooks up to a hose and automatically suds up the house. You don't need to suds up everything. I just walk around with the bucket on with a really long extension pole with a little soft bristle brush, and any of the dirt or grime that's built up over the years, or heck, it's been pollen this year. I don't know what it has been this year, but it was.
Yes.
I was in a green cloud of white pine pollen for a week straight, and heck, I was cleaning off the outdoor furniture the other day, and it was like a green river of water running away from me. That it was. I couldn't believe the amount of pollen this year, and then I ran the backpack blower on the deck, and I created a green cloud that just hung in the air forever, and So, yeah, the exteriors of the home should be addressed every now and then. But when it comes to clogged gutters, if our gutters ever clog on you, we will come out and clean them for free.
Yeah, well, they were just talking about the exterior, so they don't have an issue with the interior of the leaf guard. Andy, hang on. A quick break is in order. We're going to come right back. 82 right now here in the Twin Cities. Boy, that dew point, sticky. 71 is the dew point. We expect highs today near 98, highs tomorrow near 97. Again, 82. News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back. Good morning to our Home Improvement Show. We're here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, thanks to Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You want to give them a call this coming week? Sure. 844-9-LINDUS. Andy Lindus doing the answering this morning as usual. Andy, I'm looking at a text. Yeah, we have time for it. In fact, there's a couple of questions involved in this. We'll take them one at a time. So a listener needs to replace a wood deck. They've been hearing some complaints online that composites warp and fade. A listener says, I'm tired of the wood maintenance, however. What is the scoop on deck materials? What is the difference between, quote, composite and PVC? Let's take that one first.
The PVC products out there is what you're seeing warp and fade. But there's, you know, some PVC and a lot of the composite decking out there. They can be similar. What I know is the millboard decking and the AZEK decking are the two we've had the least amount of services on. Never really had much for service on millboard at all. And AZEK has been very far and few in between. We've done, I don't know, we do more decking in the Twin Cities metro area than probably any other construction company. Hundreds of decks now of composite out there, and we're not, again, we don't have a lot of service people. We don't have time to go out and do warranty work. If all we did was warranty work, we would, you know, we'd go out of business in short order. That's how we choose that decking. We choose those two deckings because we have very, very little callbacks or warranty claims with them, and the warranty is written strong enough that the customer is always taken care of if there ever is a problem. That's the other part, and it's why we partner with all the people that we partner with. It's the reason why we use Marvin Infinity Windows, GAF Roofing, and LP SmartSide. It's because of the warranties that we can get with those products and our experience with how durable those products are. We live in the area of the world that gets more expansion and contraction than almost any other place in the country. We have extreme low temperatures to extreme high temperatures. So you're thinking right and doing some research, and there's a lot of composite decking out there that does warp and does have issues. For a while there, we installed a decking called Zuri, but we had so much warranty claims with that decking that we've gone away from it. We no longer recommended it. As of like 5 years ago, we stopped recommending it. And it's a durable decking. Yes, it's very hard to scratch, but slippery and expansion and contraction issues led us away from it. And millboard came around, and I still think that is the best decking. For me, I'm going to choose between one of the wood materials or millboard, because I from an aesthetic standpoint and the way it operates, I just think it's way better.
That's another question from the same listener. Are prices similar nowadays for wood and non-wood?
No. You know, your wood decks are still going to be a cheaper option than most of the composites. Depending, now, if you go to the exotic woods, you can spend more on a wood deck if you want to. And I hope people want to, because when we get to build an Ipe deck, those are crowd pleasers. It just, most people can't afford it. You know, where say a normal composite deck is going to be like in that $30,000-$40,000 range, an Ipe deck might get into that $50,000-$70,000 range. I've had some go over $100,000. Now, I've never been in the position of put on a $100,000 deck for myself, but I love the customers that are able to do that, because you don't get to do those types of projects all the time. So it's a lot of fun for us to be able to do that and work with those types of materials, but they sure are expensive.
Oh, I should say. Andy, we've got a minute to go, and that is it. Question, final one, maybe a quick answer, is how to clean my composite deck. We get that a lot. What's the best way, would you say?
Again, a soft bristle brush with a little bit of detergent like Dawn, or and a pressure washer on its lowest setting. Again, some elbow grease goes a long ways. If we're up to me, I would just use the bristle brush on a regular hose, because a lot of people don't set their pressure washer low enough where you can damage composite decking or wood with it. So just got to be really, really careful. And don't get it too close.
Absolutely. Annie, thanks for all the help. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds great, Danny. Good luck. Have a great day. Stay cool.
Stay cool. Yes, Andy Linz. Get in touch with Linda's Construction. Call him this coming week, 844-9-LINDA's. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. Ryan Purpich, thank you for all the help. Sunny and hot this weekend. We could hit 98 today. We even could hit 97 tomorrow after an overnight low of 82. Sticky dew point is 71 right now, partly cloudy skies, 82 degrees. Thanks for listening.